Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis Driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary by discovering the Genesis GV70. That Genesis of Round Rock, bold design, advanced technology, and refined power redefines what modern luxury should feel like. And this month, you can enjoy low APR financing. How about 1.99% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 Genesis GV70 models? Go see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Ed Plummets, and welcome back to 1027 ESPN. We're watching the closing seconds of Argentina and England, and it looks like right now it's going to be Argentina's victory. We're under 30 seconds to play from Atlanta. Argentina leads 2-1, a ferocious comeback by the Argentines as they look like they will defeat England today 2-1. England trying to get a last shot in for naught. It's over now. Argentina has defeated England 2-1. Argentina will now meet Spain Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in New Jersey for the World Cup Championship. There's some consternation about, is the game over? Is it not over? It's at the 101 mark. Let's greet in my friend Kyle Owen.
Howdy.
Producer of our show many, many times. Also producer of our Saturday shows. And our great friend Trey Campbell, the comedian, also producer of the show. Trey, boy, how are you doing?
I'm doing not so great.
I know. You're a big Three Lions fan. That's the nickname for England. And now, Messi, it's over now. It's a final. 2-1. What a game. And you guys are more knowledgeable about soccer than me. And by the way, welcome aboard. Jeff's going to be back next week. He's on vacay. But you're no more knowledgeable than me. But it seemed to me that England was in great space at 1-0. And then almost the entire second half, this game was played. Almost. Well, England did score a goal in this early second half. But the rest of the time, the whole game lasted on the England side of the field. What gives there, Trey?
Well, I think Messi was just unstoppable. He had that assist on that game-winning goal. And I think that England's back line just appeared to kind of get tired. They didn't have the attackers that they needed there at the end. They were playing Jordan Pickford really deep. And there is a Hail Mary. But it's just old how it goes for England. They always find a way to lose.
Yeah, I haven't won one since the 60s.
66, yeah.
66, and it's not going to happen this year. But what a game effort by England, because they look like they're in position. But I tell you what, Kyle, Argentina has confused me because I saw them against Camp Verde. I saw them in other games, and they won by their hair. They're chinny, chin, chin. It seems like they're a team that when they know when to turn it on, they turn it on.
Yeah, exactly. And Argentina is one of those teams also that will literally just grind and grind and grind and break you down absolutely all the way into the ground, kind of like what they did here with England. I mean, they just know how to pressure until it just breaks. It breaks, and that's just how it goes for them. So they get them down on the ground, and that's how they finish.
Speaking about breaking, this has got to break the hearts of the Englishmen, because this was their best shot in many, many years. And Harry Kane, that's his name from England?
Yeah, the captain.
The captain, Harry Kane, was outstanding. Pickford, the goalie, was outstanding. But at the end, it was Messi who set up the last shot, the game-winning shot. He didn't make it. He didn't make either goal today, but he seemed like he was the catalyst in getting those goals.
Yeah, he was the distributor. It's just been his tournament. I mean, he's been unstoppable. I think he's in the golden boot race. I don't know if he has the most goals, but I know he's in at least the top three. So he's just been unstoppable. And it just seems like Argentina is kind of the team of destiny right now.
Well, we say that they're the team of destiny. They play a team from Spain on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Meadowlands. And by the way, why are they playing this game at the Meadowlands in New Jersey? I guess it's because of New York. They say it's the worst field of any of the fields. And we were watching today. This game today was in Atlanta. It looked spectacular. Yesterday's game at Jerry World in Arlington looked spectacular. This was indoors. I hope the weather's going to be okay. MetLife's outdoors. You'd hate to see kind of inclement weather for that. But no, it's been fun to watch this whole World Cup. And again, I've watched more soccer in the last 40 days than I have in 40 years. I'll be honest with you guys.
Are you going to get into Premier League now?
I'd like to. My sons are, Ferris and Ben are both, and they've got jerseys in the Premier League. And as we said, we were down in Mexico a few weeks. Ben got a, what do you call it?
Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland jersey. That was probably hotter than a Depot stove. Got it for like $30. And Jeff said, oh, those are regular, like $150. But no, I will watch that because now I recognize some of the players. And
I got to find you a team.
I need to find a team.
Yeah.
I've always liked Tottenham. Yeah, I've liked the name
they've
Tottenham.
They've been horrible.
Have they?
Yeah, they almost got relegated. Manchester City is where Haaland plays, if you want to be on
but that's like the Yankees, right? Yankees or Dodgers?
They have been great, but they've kind of fallen back a little bit to Arsenal and I think Liverpool are the last two winners. Well, Manchester City last won in 2023, so, but they're still, yeah, they're definitely powerhouses, and they've made some good moves.
And what's your team, Trey?
Manchester City.
Mitch, what about you, Trey?
I'm a Chelsea
fan.
Okay,
Kyle. What?
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
And why do you select Chelsea?
It was who I decided to pick when I was growing up. I liked Ronaldinho when he was on the team, and so that's, I just kind of wrote it out. I liked Juan Mata with Spain. Just ended up being who I liked. Petr Cech as well. He was great.
Yeah, the goalie with the helmet.
This is
yeah.
So sad. They showed a little boy at an English stage crying like a baby, but those Argentines ain't leaving. They're not leaving Atlanta. They're just like the damn Georgia fans. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. And there's Messi, who plays for Miami in MLS. Are they scheduled to play in Austin next year?
I don't know.
So. Yeah, they played in Miami this year. They opened up the stadium for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird schedule for the MLS next year. They're going to run like a 17-game sprint. So they might play, but I'm not sure.
Well, he was supposed to be at the All-Star game, and he was a no-show.
Yeah, and he got fined.
He got more money than you do, Kyle.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter with Messi, but no, it's just spectacular athletes, and Messi's a 30-something. He's no spring chicken, but man, oh man.
Messi is 39.
39?
Yeah, this is probably his final World Cup.
He's like the Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's exactly who it is.
Okay. Still can dominate at the old age, too.
I don't know the ages of any of these players from England. Are they likely to be around in four years?
I think Harry Kane could do one more. I think he's like 34. Yeah. So I think he could probably do one. I know Jude could play for at least two
isn't
more.
Isn't he under 25?
Jude Bellingham?
Yeah, he's very young.
He's young.
Now, who does Jude play for?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Yeah.
With Kylian Mbappe. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
That team is together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, speaking about Kylian Mbappe and yesterday's game when they represented France, good God, what happened?
I've been seeing comparisons to Dak Prescott in Dallas trying to win a playoff game.
Oh, my Lord. Wasn't the same
Mbappe's,
French team.
They've won a World Cup, so I don't know if that's a good comparison to Dak, but
in Dallas it is.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know what happened. It just seemed like Spain's back line kind of just took over. They have two great backs with Pedro Pero and Cucurella kind of anchoring their defense, so I think they just they've been so great defensively. Mm-hmm. They've conceded one goal the whole tournament, so they just kind of put
I think their keeper has 6 clean sheets, which is the most ever in a World Cup.
Yeah.
So
they've given
Simon.
Up one. They've given up one
total.
Oh my god.
Simon or Unai or however you say his first name.
Okay, now going into the game Saturday, España, Spain, Sergio Garcia's team versus Messi and Argentina. Who do you guys like in the Sunday game?
I think it's going to be really close. I think both teams play really good defensively, so yeah, I think that, you know, if Argentina can play their game and kind of wear them down, then Argentina has the edge there. But if Spain can spread the ball out like they're known to do and kind of keep it away from Argentina, then they're going to be able to pick that pocket every once in a while. But I really do think it's going to be a close game. It might end up being 1-1 at the end of it or even 0-0 and go to extra time and possibly even penalties.
Yeah, I'm taking the team of destiny. I think Messi's going to walk off a champion. He's going to get one more, and then after that, he's going to retire from Argentina and probably play out the rest of the year at Inter Miami and maybe just kind of ride off into the sunset because he doesn't have anything else he has to prove. Yeah. I don't know what his contract is at Inter Miami, but I feel like he might be retiring here pretty soon.
He doesn't need the dough, does he?
No, but he lives and breathes soccer, so this is his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he has a share of Miami and the Apple TV deal.
Yeah,
he has
like revenue sharing from Apple TV, so it's kind of his
league. To put this in a football perspective, it was if Argentina for the three quarters of the last half was inside the 25-yard line. If your team, say the Longhorns, camped out inside the 25-yard line of his opponent, they just stayed there, and you got to believe Kaboomski, they're going to score sometime.
Or like that national championship between Alabama and LSU that Alabama literally did not let LSU pass midfield.
Yeah.
Was that the game of the century where they only scored field goals, the LSU-Alabama game?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so, something like that.
Something like that, I don't remember, but bottom line is this, Argentina has advanced in the World Cup to the finals against Spain, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Congratulations to Argentina and congratulations to Spain. Bellingham and the other English players are just, I guess they're just standing there in front of their fans in one of the end zone and they don't want to leave. They don't want to take off their jerseys.
Well, they get to play one more game.
Yeah. You guys like that? This is
no, for I
third
think that's
place.
Stupid.
No, it's dumb. Most the announcers were saying earlier that this is the worst game to lose because you have to go play another one when there's no point. You're not playing for really anything except for, I guess, technically bragging rights.
Could you imagine if you made the Patriots play the Rams?
It would
in
be
the third
it would
place
have been
game.
It would have been Denver this year. Denver
yeah,
versus
okay. Denver, yeah, Denver. Versus the Rams. That might actually be a pretty good game.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it would be pointless.
Yeah,
so the guys wouldn't even play.
What they need to do, this is my idea only. You get fans from Britain and you get fans from France and say, hey, here's a jersey, good luck. Go
that
have
might
a,
be pretty funny.
Go
yeah,
have
that'd be funny.
Get some fat guys like me, older fat guys, and go out there.
I feel like the reason why they do the third place game is so you could see like some of the legends kind of get their curtain call. Like, I'd imagine N'Golo Kanté or whatever his name is for France will probably get some minutes, and that'll probably be it for him.
I think they do it for money. That's what I think they do.
Yeah, that's the root of all of it.
They used to do a third place game at the end. You know, y'all are too young. NCAA basketball tournament.
Huh.
They would have a third place game, and it was a joke. Nobody would care. You're right. Nobody. There's guys who are doing the motions, and it would be right before. I think it was... It wasn't on Saturday. No, it was the day of, if I remember correctly, the national championship game. Well, that'd be a night game, and they play like mid-afternoon, and nobody cared. Okay. Also coming up a little later today, we're going to talk a lot of football. I want you to think about this as we go to break. The best NFL coaches of all time. The best NFL coaches of all time. And there is the most unique NIL scenario I have ever heard of involving Auburn. They're playing Baylor September 5th. Auburn's going to get the riches, but this is an NIL deal that is so interesting to me. We'll talk about that. Also coming up right after the 5 o'clock, we will visit with our friend Mark Brooks, the 1996 PGA champion who played in 10 British Opens. He will join us to talk about this year's British Open at Birkdale, where he played twice in 91 and 98. And we will pick the brains of Trey and Kyle to get their top three picks. This is what we do before every major. And we can talk as much golf as we damn well please because the angry boy's not here.
Yeah, there's no Jeff.
There's no Jeff. So we will pick three. Can't pick any of the same. And the losers have to buy wine. I won the last one. I've not seen the wine yet, Trey. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Really? He still hasn't bought the wine?
Well, you haven't bought the wine.
Oh, yeah. I got to get some.
You were a loser, too.
Yeah. All right.
Jeff was a loser. We'll talk about that. So get those picks ready. This is 102.7 ESPN. I'm Ed Clements along with my buddies Trey Campbell and Kyle Owen here on a Wednesday afternoon. Again, don't cry for me, Argentina. Evita Perón's favorite team. defeats England, jolly old England, 2-1 today at the World Cup in a game played in Atlanta. Back with more right after this.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
Hey friends, we got some more rain today, and it's supposed to rain for the next couple of days. And how is the shape of your roof? We've had a very tough spring and summer so far with all the rain, which has been good, don't get me wrong, the wind, some hail, and some other damage. If you need anything about your roof, if you'd like an inspection, if you think you may have trouble, you need to call my friends at J. Marr Roofing and Sheet Metal. Quite frankly, they are the best. I've used them on many occasions. About 3 months ago, I learned that I had a hole in my roof. They came out within 24 hours. They patched it up, and now I'm in the process of building a new roof at my house. J. Marr is the pros at J. Marr Roofing and Sheet Metal. They're the best. They've been in Austin and Central Texas for over 50 years. They have the same phone number they've had for over 50 years. They're a part of our community, and their Austin iconic commercial roofs they have redone of note include Stubbs Barbecue, the LBJ Library, ACL Live in the Moody Theater. When big places need help, they call my friends at J. Marr Roofing, and they call them because they do unbelievable work, because they've been awarded many things, including the GAF Master Elite Contractor and a Master Elite 3-Star President's Club winner. They're that good. So whatever you need for the exterior of your home, J. Marr Roofing and Sheet Metal should be your first call. So if this is what you need to do, call them today at 512-441-8437. That's 512-441-8437. Or go online at jmarroofing.com. An Austin original for over 50 years, J. Marr Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Check out the podcast page at 1027ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
On the show, Ed Clements along with Kyle Owen and Trey Campbell on this Wednesday. Jeff will be off the rest of the week. We're seeing the end of the postgame things from England and Argentina. If you just joined us, another terrific World Cup game. You know, it's unbelievable. I've got interest in the scenes. There's only 2-1 today. Argentina wins 2-1. I like high-scoring football games. I do. I don't hate low-scoring games. But, man, this was intense all the way. And every possession seemed to mean something. And, again, Argentina, which they got a big break against France. Was it against – no, who was it against?
Egypt.
Yeah, they were down 2-0, and then they came back.
Came back in that game. And then what was the game? Was it the – no – what was the game? The last game they played when some guy got kicked. Oh, they kicked out for Switzerland. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm.
They reversed the call. So
he took a dive.
Yeah, I think they're charmed, but they got Messi, and Messi led the way again. No goals today, but he was a setter upper.
Yeah, had an assist
out there. So it's going to be Argentina and Spain. If I gave you a ticket right now to Argentina or London, fellas, where would you go, Kyle? Where would you go?
That's hard.
Here's a ticket right now. First class.
I'd probably
from Austin International Airport to Buenos Aires or London. Where would you go?
I'd probably go to London.
Would you?
More history there.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
I'd probably go to Argentina because I've been to London.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to London someday, but Argentina would be a lot more new for me.
I've never been to South America, and I heard great things about Buenos Aires, Argentina. I got a friend, wealthy guy, got a lot of dough, who's got a big ranch out there where he takes people to. We got a compound where they go dove hunt, and you shoot like a zillion birds, and you get big steaks at lunch, and then you got fine wines at night and things like that. And I hear great things about Buenos Aires with people who vacation. There's history there, and there's great food there. London, you can't beat London, though. I've only been there one time. Didn't stay long because I was on the way to Scotland. But, yeah, I don't know which I would do if I had a chance. I would probably try to get both.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll take both.
Yeah, give me a ticket to one and then a direct flight to the other.
Yeah, first class all the way.
Yeah.
Okay, football season, college football season starts. In August, first game of the year is Reckham Seckham, TCU, rah-rah TCU. And I've always said Reckham Seckham, Texas Tech. It's TCU on the road in Dublin against Bill Belichick and North Carolina. And that, I guess it is the first game of the year. non-conference game. They always play a game in Dublin, so it's going to be fun for Sonny Dykes and his crew and Bill Belichick and Baby Love Jordan and the Carolina Blue. I was reading today about one of the most unique things that I've ever seen, and I hadn't heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard about this. Well, I haven't heard about it. Did you see my face here, boys? Like that scar?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Let this be a lesson. I'm older than you guys, older than a lot of the listeners. Wear sunscreen. I didn't wear sunscreen when I was a kid growing up in Brownwood. Go to the lake, go to the pool, play golf, rinse and repeat all my life. Started wearing sunscreen, I guess, when I was in Midland and when sunscreen was more prevalent. I still forget sometimes now. And my dermatologist, Renee Snyder, found a spot on my face, squamous cell. And for like the umpteenth time, I had to go get Mohs surgery. Mohs surgery is right on top of the skin. My Mohs surgeon is a great guy named Dr. Matthew Fox, graduate of Anderson High School, great friend of Chris Clack. He went to Notre Dame. His dad was a dermatologist, but Matthew is a great Mohs surgeon. And he took a chunk of my leg off yesterday successfully, and he took a deep, have you seen the picture, Kyle?
No, I have not seen the picture.
Okay, have you seen it? Have you seen it, Terry?
Yeah, he showed me.
Okay, Kyle, I hope I don't want to get you sick or anything. But this was me yesterday morning at 9:50. Look at that.
I see it. Oh, my gosh, there's a hole in your face.
There's a hole in my face.
Wow.
Trey thought I got shot.
Yeah, I was a little worried.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a bullet wound.
It looks like a bullet wound. That was a squamous, whatever you call it, cancer. And he had to dig deep. He dug deep, and he got it all.
Wow.
Were you awake the whole time?
I was awake the whole time. He had a great staff. They deadened the area.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel a dang thing.
That's good.
Smell,
until later.
Until later. The smell got me, too, with the burning skin. Yeah. That always gets me. But, no, that's a hole in my face. And he got it all. And now he had the stitches. Stitches that will disappear in a week or so.
Dissolving.
Outside and inside, but I'll be okay, but man, this is just a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Wear that damn sunscreen, because it can happen. It happened to me, and I'm a little older. It can happen to you, too. So, okay, where was I? I read about this last night.
Yeah.
This football game.
It's very interesting, that's for sure.
September 5th, Auburn versus them fighting Baylor Bears.
Mm-hmm.
An appearance at the Aflac kickoff game, September 5th in Atlanta. Now, this is what's going to happen. I don't know why Baylor's out of this deal, but this is
I'll tell you why.
Tell me a minute. Auburn is expected to share roughly $6 million for players in a groundbreaking NIL deal tied to the program's appearance in this game. The money will be distributed among up to 24 Auburn players under a guarantee model that includes marketing commitments and promotional appearances. Players will also be paid through a revenue-sharing component tied directly to the game's ticket sales. The deal was announced Monday, makes the first time a neutral site college football game has incorporated NIL compensation for the players. So, it's going to be $6 million divvied up between 24 Auburn players. That's $250,000 each.
I kind of like that.
$250,000 each. My question for you, Kyle Owen, why isn't Baylor getting a piece of the action?
So I thought the same question when I was first reading the article, but I kept going down. And so Auburn and Baylor were originally supposed to play a home and home. And last year, Auburn went to Baylor. And this year was supposed to be the year that Auburn was supposed to host Baylor.
Yeah.
And so instead of hosting Baylor, Aflac was like, hey, why don't y'all come play here? We'll give you some money so that you don't technically lose that home field. So in Auburn's going to get almost, I think, 21,000 tickets, and Baylor's only getting 3,000 tickets to the game.
It's screwing and then, those Baptists, aren't
and
they?
Then the rest will be allotted for everybody else who wants to go. So
yeah.
So basically they're trying to turn it into, it's a pseudo home game with benefits going towards Auburn. So that's
250,000 and only 24 players. You got 11 on offense and 11 on defense by my math.
Yeah, that's up to 250. So that would be, I mean, everybody
but
could
24
make more,
players though.
Up to 24.
Up to
so,
24
I mean,
players.
So if they did, you know, only 12 players did it, they'd be making more money. So.
Okay, but what? How do they determine? You got 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 22. What are the two players? Special teams players,
kickers, punters.
That would
returners.
Be my guess. Yeah,
kickers and punters.
But like I said, it says up to, so that doesn't mean, I mean, they're going to do it. So six mil. and 24 players, though, I mean, that's still a lot of money, but if they don't even use all 24, the players just get more money after that.
Players will take part in a series of activations promoting the game and its events. Those include social media posts, public appearances, advertisements, in-game promotions, media interviews, and signage and branding opportunities. The revenue share component tied to ticket sales is what separates the deal from a standard endorsement model. Players now seemingly have a financial stake in the game. Auburn received an allotment of 20,000 or 21,000 tickets for the neutral side game. Baylor only three. So is that the way of the world? This is a neutral site game. And I'm thinking of the other big neutral sites games, Army-Navy, mm-hmm. which they don't even give football scholarships to. They just give general scholarships.
Cotton Bowl, Texas OU,
but...
Yeah, the Red River rivalry.
They don't need to sell any tickets there because all the tickets I saw last night on Ticket City on StubHub, they're already like $900 for end zone seats, and the seats are $200 each.
And is there a sponsor even for that, or is it just the Red?
It was AT&T.
They have different sponsors, and the schools will make a bunch of money. UT makes a bunch of money, so does OU. I wonder if the OU officials and Texas officials would ever say, okay, we're going to give the players a piece of the action. And this is a real easy, and it's a clean deal.
Yeah.
And it is, I believe, fits under the parameters. Oh, my God.
Of arbitration, yeah.
But does it really a $250,000 per player?
Well, if you're going to be including maybe like monetary gain for their appearance on TV to play the football game, mm-hmm. then maybe, because then you can give the rev share of the TV revenue. But I mean, I don't know about $250,000 for just the social media posts, mm-hmm. the interviews and the appearances or whatever they're going to make in commercials or something like that. $250,000 seems a little steep for that, but I do think that maybe, like, since they are playing in this AFLAC game, they're going to broadcast it on TV, so they deserve to get the rev share of the TV broadcast mm-hmm. into it. So I don't know if that's included. Maybe that is.
I don't know if it could be because
you can technically make that argument for every single game that's on ESPN or ABC.
Auburn part of the SEC, Baylor part of the Big 12. That may be part of the package, whatever. But will the arbitrator say, yeah, this is okay? But that number sounds awfully big. $250,000 per player.
Yeah, I think the number is the biggest problem in this, but I don't know. It is very interesting. I don't know the exact details of it, of course. So
wouldn't you be better served if you divvied it out among 40 players?
Or all of the players?
Or all the players?
Maybe the starters get like an extra percentage higher than everybody else, but everybody gets a share. So that would maybe be a little better. But I mean, the stars are the ones that are going to make any money. Like, they probably have a social media following and stuff like that that you can promote, but it's not $250,000 worth. So
I would assume they're trying to boost ticket sales for this, because with all due respect to Baylor and Auburn, they're good. They're great institutions, but they've been somewhat silent in going to the playoffs. So maybe this is just geared for all the ticket sales and excitement, but it's phenomenal. But Texas OU, that would be a natural for me. What else am I? What other neutral site games am I missing? The Aggies used to play Arkansas at Jerry World.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore. Florida and Georgia play.
Yes, Georgia and Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. I mean, I don't know what if they have any sponsorships for that game as well. But mm-hmm. What else?
They may start thinking of that because this is an easy, legitimate way to get the players some dough, and this really rewards your starters.
Yeah, I mean, there's always those kickoff games as well. So they were saying that this is replacing the what used to be the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Mm-hmm. I think that what LSU had played in the past couple years, and so like also you can kind of think about the game that they're doing in Dublin, Ireland, the first game of the year.
North Carolina.
That has a sponsor. That's Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus.
And so, like, could they have the players post about them and pay them a little bit? I mean, that is definitely something I think that you could probably profit off of. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if these neutral site games or these kickoff games will become more prevalent to giving players money.
Well, what a great way to get money to these top line players, those starters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
24 players will split $6 million.
And that's not on the school's bill either.
No, that's not on their bill.
Yeah.
$6 million, but they get the benefits by getting the players.
Does that count towards the $22 million or whatever?
No,
it is?
No, this is NIL. Yeah, this is name, image, likeness. This is on top. This is Arch Manning style money.
Yeah. And very interesting.
It's phenomenal, but I do think this is a good way. I think Del Conte should look at this and the ADs at, I know Joe Castiglione is no longer there, but they need to look at that and say, hey, we may just suck it up and say we won't get the big share we usually get from this. Let's get it to the players in a legitimate way.
This just came to my head. Bowl games maybe can start incentivizing players to actually play in them if they can give some sort of rev share based off the sponsor of the bowl games.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I've never been, you know, Texas plays one game away from Austin, and they've always played OU in Dallas, so it's not like it's our game this year, it's OU's game this year, that kind of stuff. Because I've never been to Norman, Oklahoma to watch a football game, nor has anybody from Oklahoma been to Austin watching an OU-Texas game. So it's interesting to see how far you could go with this. I don't think Texas would ever, like a natural, just popped in my mind. How about my man Cody in Lubbock saying, okay, calling Del Conte, Chris, okay, let's meet at Jerry World.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And
have Jerry foot the bill for
have
a sponsor, AT&T or whoever.
Have Cody with his billions of dollars. Cody puts up a bill. Texas big guy puts up some money, and then get another sponsor, put it all together, and you can make great riches. That is on the up and up. It's not any of this under the table. We don't know where I don't know where I got this money. They just promised
money
me
bagger type 300. Stuff.
Yeah, no brown bag. So interesting. So that's what's going to happen. Baylor and Auburn, and I wonder if Auburn is working for. Well, maybe Baylor thinks we need to create something.
Yeah, it could be interesting in recruiting as well. Be like, hey, we've got these games lined up that guarantee you this money. Blah blah blah. If you're going to be starting for us,
yeah.
If you want to come to our school, we're going to be able to guarantee you this money from this game. And it may be able to, you know, teeter somebody one way or another if they're, you know, somebody's offering equal money on the rev share side, and then going to have this neutral site extra NIL that'll maybe could push a player over the edge to one school or another to have those games.
I still don't know how schools, and I know this new clearinghouse has denied a lot of these deals, but I don't know how it's going to work. I just scratch my head. And with all due respect to Texas and A&M and Georgia and Michigan and Notre Dame, what is the NIL component in this gift to some player? What is the starting wide receiver doing with the Houston law firm that ponied up $300,000? It's still rife with corruption.
Yeah.
It's still rife with corruption. So, all right, we need to take another break. More college football news, pro football news, and Mark Brooks comes your way just after 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I believe Scotty Scheffler tees off at like 3:45 Austin time. I will not be up to see my friend Scotty Scheffler at the first drive at Birkdale. Have you seen Birkdale lately? Did you see the course?
No, I have not.
Oh, have you seen it? Have you seen it, Trey?
I don't think I have. No.
Trey. It's as brown as this table.
Ooh,
and they've had a drought. Had a drought, and it's going fast. Some guys were hitting 270 yards, 7 irons today.
So they're playing in Midland, huh?
Yeah, they're playing in Midland. It's like Midland, Odessa, kaboom, kaboom. And they're watering. They're hand watering the greens. And I don't think I do think they probably have sprinkler systems on the green, not in the fairways, but they've got to water the greens so the players can distinguish the fairways from the greens. Yeah. You know, that's not a grand hit. One brown spot. I drove by Hancock earlier today, Hancock Golf, on Red River. Drove by Muni over there in West Austin. they look like Augusta National with all this rain.
Yeah.
It's brown at Birkdale. We'll talk to Mark Brooks about that. He's played in two British Opens at Birkdale. Came close to winning a couple of them. We'll talk about that at just after 5 o'clock. We're going to take a break. After this break, more on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. Listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Ed Clements. Jeff will be back next week. He's taking a little vacation. I'm joined by my great friends Kyle Owen. Kyle is a special guy because he produces our Saturday show, Sports Saturday, on KLBJ Radio every 5 to 7 from Dirty Martin's Place. Had a great show last week with the 100th anniversary of Dirty's. We'll be back this Saturday, as we will be now for the rest of the year, there for every football game. So it figures out we'll be there before and after every Longhorn game, expecting a good crowd after the Texas State game and an even bigger crowd before Ohio State. And also by Trey Campbell, the young comedian, also producer here. Trey is a frequent guest over there at, what do you call it, Joe Rogan's place over there?
The Mothership.
The Mothership.
That was the first time I got on in like 2 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. What was the deal? You got selected Monday to be on, or what's the deal on that?
I got on the Mothership's open mic. So when you get on that, you're in front of like the booker for the Mothership. And I was excited because I did really well, but then I found out the booker's flight was delayed.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't there. So it
was Now, you're friends with, what's his name, Tony, the Kill Tony fame?
We're acquaintances.
Tony, what's his name, Tony?
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
He knows who I am. We see each other every now and again, but...
Embarrassing story, I think I told you both. I met him on the sideline of a Longhorn game last year. You know, a friend of mine who's heavily involved with NIL said, Hey, Tony, you know each other, Tony and Ed. Oh, hi, Ed. And he gave me a hug and had a picture with him. And he goes, I'll take your picture with Tony. So he took my picture with Tony and I guess his girl he was with, pretty girl. I don't know who the hell he was. And I sent it to my both boys and Ferris. Oh, my God, you're with Tony. Oh, we love Tony.
Right.
And, of course, then watching Netflix, he had his own special and he was part of the Tom Brady deal and kind of a controversial figure.
Yeah, big time.
He was there for a
great leader's rally.
Great
he was
leader
there, yeah.
For Trump rally and everything. Yeah,
he did the joke about Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah, don't repeat that joke. No, we want to keep our license. But yeah, so that's great. You're doing that. Hope you get your big break. Well, Argentina got some more big breaks today. They just played their ass off. Argentina defeated England earlier today 2-1 to advance to the final of the World Cup, which is going to be Sunday against Spain in New York City at East Rutherford, where Jeff played a college football game once. So that's going to be for the World Cup. Pretty huge. They do this every 4 years. Where's the next one going to be? Do we know?
It's going to go ahead.
Spanning over six countries, so they're doing games in Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, Morocco, Spain, and Portugal.
Wow!
So it's a centennial. It's the 100-year anniversary of the first one. So they're going to do a couple games here in South America because Uruguay was the first host. And so they're going to do a couple things for Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. And then most of it will be done in Morocco and Spain and a little bit of Portugal.
If it's in Argentina, Buenos Aires is an hour in front of us. It's like Eastern time. So maybe we can watch some games. See, I have no, zero, nada recollection of watching any games from Qatar 4 years ago. Nothing.
I remember watching the final and Messi winning in penalties.
Yeah,
but that's about it. I remember watching England and the USA. I watched that at a bar.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. But
what time was that final over there in Qatar? Was it?
It was like in the afternoon.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so it was a night game over there. All right.
Yeah,
ain't holding no World Cup in Middle East anymore. I can tell you.
That's never gonna happen.
And
again.
It won't be in Tehran. They're gonna be in Tehran for a while, or Baghdad.
Yeah,
for
probably
a while.
Not.
Or Lebanon.
Saudi Arabia here pretty soon. That's been rumored. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to go over there with the, you know.
Yeah, with everything in the going on.
Still
I don't know.
Lobbing
the
bombs from both sides. I don't think so. Another college football story. This story broke, I guess, after a couple of days ago when we were off. But And I don't know if you guys talked about it yesterday. And by the way, thanks for filling in for us yesterday.
Of course.
No problem.
Yeah, Florida State is expected to hire ex-Texas Longhorn Houston Cougar and FAU coach Tom Herman in the support staff role. Knowles, 24, confirmed earlier this week. The 51-year-old coaching veterans position with the team has not yet been clarified, but he will likely assist Seminoles coach Mike Norvell on the offensive side of the ball as he resumes play-calling duties following Gus Malzahn's offseason retirement. Florida State's counting on an experienced transfer quarterback, Ashton Daniels, to jumpstart an offense that sputtered last season. Tom Herman brings two decades of coaching experience with him as the Seminoles look to get back on track. Boy, Florida State has not been on track since the year they got screwed going to the playoffs. They lost their quarterback. They lost their backup quarterback. And they had a third-string quarterback, and they were still undefeated. They still won the conference title, but they didn't get picked for the national championships. Didn't get picked. So they need something. I don't think they're gonna. I don't know how good they're gonna be this year. But Tom Herman is the strangest coach in my time at Austin, and I say that strange because I never really knew him. I'd see him every Monday and Thursdays for news conferences. But he didn't let many people in. I saw him at a couple of social events, and he was sort of distant. But he got fired unceremoniously after an 8-4 record, I guess, after COVID. Got fired. And just a strange, strange cat. Even more stranger than John Makovic. John Makovic was a different kind of guy. You guys are too young. John Makovic replaced David McWilliams, who was fired in the early 90s. David McWilliams, his succession was Coach Royal, Fred Akers. They went to David McWilliams, the Longhorn legend, an assistant, longtime assistant. And David flamed out. Great guy. Great defensive coordinator. Never should have been a head coach. Was a great coordinator. Then they hired Makovic, and Makovic was a total opposite of David. David had open practices. He's the consummate definition of a good old boy, great guy, real Texas, and they hire Makovic, who was a button-down guy from the Midwest. Makovic came in with his own set of rules, own set of attitudes. He liked to drink wine. He didn't drink beer. He was somewhat condescending. He was very opinionated and really didn't get any kind of outreach or embrace by the Longhorn fans. He was, I thought, a great offensive coach. Boy, he was good on offense, not so good on defense. Won the first ever Big 12 championship. He gets fired. He gets fired from that job. They go with Mac, and the rest is history. Mac for a long time. What a great tenure. They fire Mac, which hindsight's 2020. Never should have fired Mac. They get Charlie, about number six on the hit parade list. Charlie, nice man. Another good coordinator, but was overwhelmed. It's not just being a coach when you come to Texas. It's much, much more. And Charlie never could embrace that. Then they go from Charlie to Herman. And then Herman, he had some off the field stuff. Yeah.
He was fighting with people.
He's an angry man.
He was an angry man. He was angry a lot. And it's quite, you know, public that he liked Tito's. You know, he did like Tito's, which I like Tito's.
So does Sark.
Well, Sark used to. He used to like Tito's, but I think he's on the straight and narrow. But bottom line, he got fired. And that guy was the flavor of the week.
Yeah, he was huge in Houston.
He was huge in Houston, had some marvelous wins, I guess, over Louisville, beat one of the Florida schools, and he was the darling. He turned down LSU to come
Texas,
to Texas.
Yeah, he was a graduate assistant there.
Assistant at Texas with Mac. And when Mike Perrin, who's a wonderful guy, he became athletic director after the Patterson fiasco, and he hired him along with a former chancellor and flavor of the week.
Don't you think LSU's happy they got Ogeron instead?
I think they are, but then this coaching carousel. They won a national championship with that.
I don't think with Herman they would have won the national championship, probably not.
But now he's just faded into the distance, and now he's back, and I thought he's looking. He was at FAU and didn't do much at Florida.
They won four games at most.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he does down there.
His role, from what Norvell says, he's basically just going to provide a unique perspective and different experiences. So he's basically going to design plays for the defensive coordinator to see, like, on scout team for, like, during practice and stuff like that. So the defense, he's going to try to, like, basically scheme, like, the opposing team and against for the defensive coordinator. And then he's also going to have influence on, like, special situations like third and short and fourth and long and stuff like that.
Good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck to Florida State.
Yeah. They need something.
They need something because that is a once great football school with Bobby Bowden and others. They're great, and they were really good with Norville the first few years, and they just had the unfortunate thing when their quarterback leg was destroyed. That guy's never come back, by the way. Mm-hmm. Never come back.
Travis?
Yeah. Travis Hunter, was that his name?
Dylan Travis. He went to the Jets for a second.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's never come back. So I wish him well. I don't have a dog in that hunt, but it's going to be interesting if Tom Herman does well there and ever emerges again because, for goodness sakes, he got rich when he got fired from Texas.
In hindsight, he probably should have never left Houston.
Yeah, you're right. But then again, he was the flavor of the week.
Yeah. And how do you not? How do you turn down
That's
the job?
True.
You don't. You don't turn down the University of Texas. You don't turn down LSU. Yeah. But he was Sam Ellinger's quarterback all those years, and 8-4 was his last year. Gets fired. But Del Conte, that's when they went out and got Steve Sarkisian to be the head coach, and it's been very good for Texas, even though Texas has not been to the promised land of yet. But Longhorns will be attending next week's SEC Media Days. Aaron will be there. Our Aaron Hogan and the morning show will be there all week long for the SEC Media Days.
Trey Ling will be there as well.
Trey's going to be there. Good. Yep. Trey will be there. And by the way, Trey's going to be doing a show after the games here on 102.7 ESPN. So that'll be fun going into the football season. Again, I was just looking at ticket prices and looking at interest. That Ohio State game is still off the charts. To get in is probably $500 in the bad upper deck seats in the north end zone. $500 just to get in. The better seats in section 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least $1,000-$1,500 each. So it's an interesting home schedule. The Texas State game is going to be well attended, and it will be fun because it is the first game of the year, and I think people are just jacked up about seeing Arch and the new players.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Get-in price for that game's up to $110 right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, and it's a 2:30 game. So
Lordy,
it's going to be a hot one for sure on September 5th.
Yeah, that's going to be, and it's an at 2:30 game, hot like crazy. Next week is Ohio State. That's a 6:30 game.
Yeah, get-in price is
$508.
$508. Yep. To see Ohio State, Texas, which it should be a terrific game. Then they get Texas, gets UT San Antonio. Then they get Tennessee on the road, which is going to be a spooky game to me. Texas is, to my knowledge, it may be in the 50s or 40s. They've never played there. That's going to be a tough game. And then OU looms. The Red River Shootout, Square Off, whatever they're called, Square Dance, whatever they're
Red
called.
River Rivalry. Red River. I still call it the Red River Shootout, though.
Red River Rivalry. But if you just join us, we talked about the Baylor-Auburn game where the Auburn players, it still blows my mind. Auburn and Baylor playing non-conference in Atlanta, neutral site. And is it the Chick-fil-A people?
Well, it used to be. It's the Peach Bowl, but with help from Aflac.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now they're making it an NIL deal because it's technically an Auburn home game. And 24 Auburn players are going to split $6 million. And I mean, am I figuring that right? Is that $250,000 per?
Yeah, it's $250,000 per person.
Per player.
Yes.
That is
up to 24. $250,000 or more per player.
That is phenomenal. And I think when other schools are going to see this, and I think when Seth said this, I'm repeating myself, when Del Conte sees that, go, how can we get money in the pockets of the Texas players with the Red River game? You're not going to need to sell any tickets for that one, but the hoopla surrounding, you could do that with promotion and interviews and things like that. So going to be interesting to see. Also, the ACC has introduced their new tiebreaker policies. We'll focus on team quality after the league came dangerously close to missing out on the college football in 2025. Well, the team that won, the ACC didn't get in.
I think they should have been
Duke.
In. Duke
didn't get
great.
In. Yeah. They won the game over Virginia. They didn't get in. Miami got in, and Miami made a lot of noise. But defining a new tiebreaker procedures is important for the ACC. As such, the definition of tied teams includes not just squads with identical records, but also those with the same number of conference wins or losses. Mm-hmm. So if one team is 7-2 and another 7-1, they could be considered tied for the purpose of the tiebreaker.
The big issue last year was the divisions that they still had. They were still split in half, and so Duke winning the North at 7-5 or whatever it was just it put the ACC in a bad situation to put two mid-level teams in the ACC championship game, where you have Miami and Georgia Tech
and SMU
and Virginia and SMU all on the same side,
because that was really that was a big ripoff to me, with because obviously the best two teams last year in the ACC were Georgia Tech and Miami, sort of. Well, they were the higher ranked. But the Duke deal, that was weird. And now the Duke quarterback, where's he playing this year? Miami.
Yeah.
He's in Miami now.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great. Yeah, he was great last year for Duke, but he was winged.
I think Duke is suing him.
I think he might have did what Soresby did.
Yeah, he pulled a Soresby.
Yeah.
Duke lawyers are a little better than Cincinnati's, I'm sure.
You think so?
Maybe.
Hey, Leroy, what do you think about that case? We'll get them, boss. Yeah, I think they're a little smarter, but I just find that ironic that the guy goes from Duke to Miami and will play more than likely against Duke this year in the ACC. So ACC, and, you know, we had that discussion, I guess, on Monday. Tech is making noise about they're so mad. Texas Tech's so mad at the Big 12. They're making noise about joining the ACC. That top half is good in the ACC. Miami, SMU, Georgia Tech. If Texas Tech gets in there, that gives street cred. Just like all the other conferences, there's some dead weight in there, but that would give big street cred to the ACC if Tech takes your money and runs. All right, coming up after this break, we're going to try to hook up with our friend Mark Brooks, former PGA champion who played in 10 British Opens. And also after that, Trey and Kyle and I will pick our three top winners, top players in this week's British Open that gets underway early tomorrow morning in England. We'll talk about that and much, much more when we return to 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.